Bala Show on Radio 720 WGN. So I was in Las Vegas earlier this week, as I mentioned, for a conference. And on Thursday, we're heading back home to Chicago. I was on Wednesday, had a 2:30 in the afternoon flight. That morning, it got delayed. We got a notice from United Airlines that let us know it's delayed till 3:23. And there was a change of aircraft. We're on a different aircraft, new seat assignments, everything else, blah, blah, blah. All worked out fine. We still headed to the airport early because there have been times before when I've had a flight delayed that they then reverted back to the original time, only like a 15 or 20 minute difference. But I'm nervous enough that it was better off. Let's just be there early. We'll wait. Board the airplane at 3:23, sit on the plane for an hour while they work out some sort of electrical issue that they can't get right. They keep thinking another 15 minutes, another 15 minutes. Finally, the pilot's like, you know what? We're going to deboard the plane. It's getting hot in here. Let's get off and let you guys go from there. And that's where I probably did not handle everything correctly because I think other people had a better deal than I did once all was said and done. Joining us on the phone right now from JohnnyJet.com is Johnny Jet himself. Hey, Johnny, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. All right. So here's what I do. So we get off the plane, and I've got work the next day that I'm worried now about. So I start making some phone calls and not paying attention. About 10, 15 minutes later, we notice a line of about 65 people to the counter by our gate. Now, our flight hasn't been canceled yet, but all these people are in line. So my business partner I'm traveling with and I look at each other like, I don't know, we better get in this line and see what the hell this is about. So we get in the line. And we find out that the plane has been canceled. I get an updated note from United Airlines that we're now rebooked on a flight at 6 o'clock the next morning. It's only like 5:30 in the evening in Vegas. We're booked now on a flight 6 o'clock the next morning to Chicago. And we don't even know why we're waiting in line. We're guessing this is where they tell you where you can stay at a hotel or something along those lines. We're not even sure. And we, you know, what happens is it takes forever. We were in this line, Johnny, honestly, for an hour and a half or more. They slowly go through with people, and I come to find out they're either helping them get into a hotel or trying to find them an alternative. If you don't want to take that 6 a.m. flight the next morning, well, here's what we can do. We can send you here. We can send you there. There's a later flight to Chicago, this and that, this and that. And I did call United Airlines as we were standing there, and I talked to somebody and tried to get on the red-eye flight that night by United. He's like, well, you could do standby, but then I don't know if your luggage is going to make it, different things like that. So we end up, by the time we get to the counter, literally after the whole plane probably is rescheduled, we ended up getting on like an 8:30 flight from Vegas to L.A. on United and then laid over there for 3 hours, and they put us on an American Airlines red-eye back to Chicago. So we got back to Chicago at 7:30 in the morning. We literally spent 21 hours traveling over that day and overnight. Wow. And I was thinking, I know that this could have been handled better on my end. I'm not blaming the airline. Things happen. I don't want to fly in a plane that might have a problem. I understand that. I understand it's not easy then to figure out how to send 200 people 18 different ways when there's not another plane to just throw them on. But if you're in that situation, Johnny, I'm guessing, I was thinking, you know, as soon as I walked off that plane, I should have been standing probably by that ticket agent desk because the first people in line had the first choice of different of all the options that were available. And I'm guessing you might even say get on the phone with the airline right away to see what your options are.
Tell me
what you do in that situation.
So you have the right attitude, first of all. But what you need to do, the moment you find out that there is a delay, severe delay or cancellation, is when you need to start taking action. So, you know, the airline's doing a good job these days. They are now sending notifications before you had to sign up for them. Some airlines you do. I don't know if you signed up for the United one or they just sent it to you.
I think in my profile, because I'm a frequent flyer, I think I have my email or my text number with them or something. I'm not sure.
So if you're not a frequent flyer, then make sure you sign up for the airline's flight notifications. But another one you can do is sign up for TripIt, T-R-I-P-I-T. And what these guys do is they usually let you know before the airline does. And even just a couple minutes earlier helps because these days flights are going out really full. So the chances of getting an empty seat on another plane is slim pickings. So it's the people who get there first. So, you know, what I would have done the moment I heard it, while I was still on the plane, I would have called the airline, or if I had a travel agent, I would have called my travel agent and had them do the dirty work. And then when I got off the plane, I would look for a line that, you know, was much smaller, especially if you're traveling with someone. You know, have your colleague go to the customer service line while you stand in the line at the gate. Mm-hmm. But if you know it's going to be an hour and a half long, you know, it might even be worth it to go to the airline lounge I mean, especially if you have access to the lounge, you go in there. Otherwise, you pay the $50 because there's usually the agents in there, and they can work wonders. They call them angels, a lot of them, especially the American Airlines agents. They call them AA angels. But what they'll do is, you know, they'll get you on a flight. Actually, I was in Vegas yesterday, and going there a couple days ago from L.A., my flight was delayed by 2 hours, and they said, we're not sure. It was American. They said, we're not sure if it's going to go out. The moment I heard that, I made a beeline to the lounge because it was right there. And I went there, and I asked the agent if they could, you know, back me up on – protect me on another flight. So she goes, I won't cancel your flight now because we don't know if it's going to go out or not. But she said, just in case it gets canceled, I'm going to, you know, protect you on the next flight. So she put me and the people in my party on that already assigned to seats just in case they're on hold. And they can do that.
And they're not charging you anything for that, or is that only because you have great status with the airline?
Well, I do have great status, but they do it too. You can always ask. Even I've done it with airlines that I don't have status with, and I say, you know, can you protect me on the next flight just in case this one gets canceled? Because they said they weren't sure if it was going to cancel. Excuse me. And anyway, it turns out it did not get canceled, so we kept our original flight. But the point of the story is you got to act fast. There's not a lot of time because, again, these planes are going out almost full. And there's no seats for people to take. You know, if there's a cancellation, there's not enough seats for everybody.
Yeah. So
and let me ask if it's mechanical or something, the airline does owe you, you know, a hotel or money. And, you know, instead of waiting in a long line, especially if it's late at night to get a hotel voucher, an hour and a half, and then if you're traveling with kids or whatever, you know, just book yourself a hotel before they all go, by the way, and then fight the airline for it after.
And how – all right, so let's say we did that. So we're waiting in this line for an hour and a half. If we would have just said, forget this, we're taking the 6 a.m. flight tomorrow, I don't need to go up there, we book some hotel room somewhere – and then what? Then I start calling. And how good is the airline about saying, I understand you didn't want to wait in that line. That's fine. Or would they say, listen, that's a $120 room. We would have gotten a better deal. We're not paying back all of that. How would that work?
Well, that's a good question. So it all depends on the airline, the case. Again, if it's weather related, they're not going to give you anything because it's not their problem.
Right.
But if it's mechanical, and especially if you have freaking flyer status, they will hook you up. But you know, it's a chance you take, but it's better. You know, in some cities, there's not enough hotel rooms. I mean, Vegas they have over 100,000 rooms, so right. You don't have a problem. But if there was a major convention in town, or if you're in a smaller city, you know, there's not enough rooms. So I would rather sleep in a hotel bed than on an airport floor. So even if it's going to cost me $100 out of my pocket, but you can fight the airline, and they will most likely reimburse you unless it's some crazy cost. But you know. I mean, and if the line's not long, then wait in the line. But if it's a really ridiculous line, which I've seen late at night, wrapped around the corner, then I wouldn't do it.
All right, let me ask you this. So when we're deboarding the plane, they hadn't canceled it yet. And even after we were in line for 45 minutes or so, it was a while before they officially canceled that flight. If I had called the airline, say, on the plane and said, listen, we're deboarding, it's blah, 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 I need to get on a different flight, can you work with me? You know, they really want to, when you change flights now, charge you. What, $75?
No, they won't charge you if there's a significant delay. The moment there's a delay or there's weather, you can now get that fee waived.
Even if it's weather, even if it's not their fault, if there's a delay, if they can get you on another flight, they'll be good about it?
Oh, yeah. So, for example, you know, sometimes I'll fly like New York to Toronto, and you know, I get to the airport a couple hours early, and I want to get on that earlier flight. And they're like, well, it's going to cost you, you know, $75 a change. I'm like, well, there's bad weather coming into town. And they look it up. They go, you're right. And then they can waive the fee. So always ask about, you know, see if there's any weather delays either where you are or where you're going. Or if there's bad weather coming in there so you can beat the bad weather.
We're speaking with Johnny Jett. He helps you get wherever you're going around the country and sometimes in an upgraded situation. Let's ask him about that next. It's tougher and tougher to get the good seats, to get the seats changed without paying all sorts of fees. Can you still get an upgrade in this world? We'll ask Johnny Jett that next. JohnnyJett.com is the website. You're listening to Matt Bubala on Radio 720 WGN. Radio 720 WGN. We're speaking with Johnny Jett from johnnyjett.com. And we're talking about bad travel experiences. Let's talk about good travel experiences, Johnny. There are so many fewer seats these days that whenever I'm at the airport and I'm looking at that board, it'll say upgrade list, and there'll be like four pages of people trying to get upgraded on a lot of times planes that have very small sections of upgraded seats. Is it still possible for people to get upgraded when they if they don't have some sort of incredible status?
It is getting more and more difficult these days because the airlines, again, you know, they cut capacity. They don't have as many first-class seats, and everyone seems to be a frequent flyer. So you better have some high status, or you can do some of these tricks. So I recommend, first of all, number one best way to get upgraded is become a frequent flyer. And it does take time sitting, you know, in coach for, you know, at least 25,000 miles a year in a calendar year. But other than that, you know, if you spend a lot of money on credit cards, especially if you have a company, some airlines like Delta will give you elite status, you know, for spending without ever even flying them, just spending a lot of money on their credit card.
Is Delta the only one? Because I'm on United and I spend a lot through the company on the credit card, but it doesn't seem to be helping me out at all.
Well, no, I think United will only give you about 10,000 freaking flyer. They'll give you miles for every dollar you spend, but what you really want are the qualification miles.
Yeah.
So I think United and American, they only give you about 10,000 miles, and you have to spend, you know, around $40,000 in a calendar year. But I believe the Delta one, if you spend like $250,000 in a year, which, you know, is easy for companies to do, you can get, you know, high status. But I actually stopped flying Delta because, you know, their freaking flyer program is the worst, in my opinion. They charge way too much. And right now I fly American pretty much exclusively when I'm or their partners. But the other ways to get upgraded are, you know, the airlines, by the way, you know, they've learned they'd rather make some money than no money than giving it to a freaking flyer. So now they're offering upgrades for cheap. Even, you know, when you check in, you might see a screen saying, hey, would you like to upgrade that seat for, you know, $150 or whatever it is? A lot cheaper than it would be to, you know, buy the business class ticket.
Yeah.
For example, one of my buddies was flying from D.C. to Amsterdam. Normally business class on a lie-flat seat is about $3,000, and they offered it for $250 at check-in. Of course you want to grab that. Or I tell people, you know, always look at business class and or premium economy or first-class fares. Don't just look at coach fares. When people are pricing it out, they're just looking at coach. Sometimes it's actually cheaper to fly first class.
Yeah, well, not cheaper than coach.
It is. I have screenshots of it. It all depends on the route. All depends on the time, especially if you're buying last minute and the planes are full in coach, but they have seats in first class. It's actually been cheaper.
Wow.
Or sometimes it's just a little bit more expensive, but I have screenshots of it being cheaper.
But it's that's definitely probably not on like a cheap ticket, right? Like they've jacked up economy so much because it's full or an oversold situation. So that's why that's gone up so much more than, I mean, do they ever really come down in price for first class because they want to move those seats?
Yeah. So for example, last year, my wife and I were going to South by Southwest in Austin. And her ticket from Toronto to Austin was $680. That was business class. The coach ticket was $830, and I go, that doesn't make any sense. So of course, I looked at that, and we bought the business class ticket. It was first class. So you know, you save $200, and you're flying up front. But all other times I was flying British Airways, and usually their premium economy from L.A. to London is at least $1,000 more, and it was $20 more.
Wow.
They had some kind of promotion going on. So, or, you know, it was full in coach, and it wasn't full in premium economy. So always look at that. Another way is you can, you know, if you're flying during peak times, like when you were flying, you know, when your flight got canceled, you could have asked, hey, I'll go on this other flight, but can you put me in first class? Or try and get bumped, and then you can try and negotiate. You know, when they oversell a flight and they're really trying to get a volunteers, you know, they're going to start offering at like $200, and they keep going up when no one volunteers.
Yeah.
Well, you can also say, hey, can you? I'll volunteer, but I want the cash voucher, and can you upgrade me? And that's happened.
That's interesting because they want you to do so much with the kiosks now. Any airport you're at, they want you to check your own bags, put the stickers on yourself. You got to do everything.
Exactly.
So every time, just about every time we go, you'll get that screen that says, your flight may be oversold. Would you accept $200 to take a later flight? You would say you wouldn't take that. You'd wait and see once you got to the desk if they're still looking and see if you can negotiate a little more.
You don't take the $200. You want to get at least $500.
Really?
So, you know, I would say no, and then when you get to go right to the gate, right when there's an agent there, say, listen, I don't mind being put on the, you know, if you need to bump me, I'll do it, but I'm not going to do it for $200. I'm going to do it for, you know, whatever your price is.
And they're pretty good about if they need somebody, they'll do that?
Oh, yeah, if they need it, they'll do it. My sister and her family each got $1,300 cash.
Each?
Because each, for four of them, they were going from Florida or New York to the Barbados during Christmas. It was actually, I think it was Christmas Day. And the flight was sold out. They oversold. And my sister, who you wouldn't believe is related to me because she did not check in for her flight, and so they took the last four people or the last 10 people, however many people they oversold, who did not check in, and they bumped them. And that was an involuntary bump. And my sister called me. She goes, can they do this? I said, well, they can, but they owe you money. And they didn't tell her that part. So I said, you go tell the agent right now that they owe you $1,300. And the agent goes and was like trying to whisper it so the other passengers couldn't hear. And sure enough, they each got checks for $1,300.
And is that
they were put on a later flight. But they had to wait in the airport 8 hours.
Is that a flat rate, this $1,300, or where did that number come from when you told?
Yeah, that's the government. That's the government rate that they said for. If you're delayed 4 hours or more, and I'm not sure if it's international, but that's the rate. So $1,300, I would take that any day.
I'll sit in the airport for $1,300 a person. That's another trip to Barbados.
For sure. But again, you know, this does not, if it's weather delay, they owe you nothing. It has to be mechanical or that they oversold.
Yeah. But I mean, they're overselling like crazy now, right?
No, I don't know about crazy, but they, you know, the computers are pretty good, so they know when they're going to be oversold or not. But another way is, you know, to travel during off-peak times. You're not going to get upgraded when business travelers are traveling,
right?
And they're traveling usually Monday morning, and they're coming home on Thursday and Friday afternoons. So you want to try and travel either Tuesday, Wednesdays, or on Saturdays when these guys aren't traveling, and you have a much better chance of getting upgraded. It's usually when the prices are cheaper to fly. So, you know, look at off-peak times. You can also, you know, it doesn't hurt to always be nice. It makes it a lot more difficult, but just be genuinely nice to people. I used to always bring 3 boxes of chocolates, one for the gate agents, one for the flight attendants, and one for myself. And, you know, and the gate agents, you know, before 9/11, I would fly New York, L.A. every other weekend, and I knew all the gate agents and flight attendants, and I would just bring them presents, and they would put me in first class, not even business class, first class. It was just because I was nice.
Yeah.
But then the airlines got smart, and they got the computer systems, which make it much more difficult for them to upgrade people, you know, that way. So you got to figure out, you got to now do, you got to be creative.
Well, you know, I understand that, like, it's harder for them to do these now because they want to sell them different things like that. But if you get on a flight and there's empty seats up there, does it help to be extra special nice as you're getting on the plane, maybe hand out the chocolates to that first-class flight attendant?
Well, they can see through that.
Okay.
But again, so that's probably not going to happen. And also, you know, a lot of times, especially if it's a celebrity, they get on the very, you know, they're the last people in first class. So it's more the gate agents that you really want to butter up.
Those are the hearts you need to win.
Yes, for sure. But again, they can see right through it. You got to be genuinely nice to these guys, and also they love it when you say, "I'm happy to volunteer my seat," and then you know, and then you can say, "Hey, can you get me on an upgrade on the next flight?"
Yeah, yeah. Good tips. JohnnyJet.com is the website. He writes about travel all the time and will give you helpful tips to get around the world and save some money and all sorts of good stuff like that. JohnnyJet.com. Thanks so much for jumping on the phone, Johnny.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You're listening to the Matt Bubala Show on Radio 720 WGN.